Hello again, everyone. Chris Matthew with Forbidden Knowledge News. Today, I'm happy to welcome Sean Stone. He is an actor, filmmaker, author, and he has been a television host for Gaia and RT. Sean, welcome. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. I'm doing good. I'm really looking forward to your new film that you're going to be premiering at this year's Laughlin UFO MegaCon. It's called Best Kept Secret. I was hoping you'd join us today to tell us a little bit about the film. Give us a little teaser.
Sure. So originally it was supposed to be a documentary. It's now going to be a docu-series, meaning it'll be six chapters, about 25 minutes each. And it's because it's just such an epic story that has to be told. And, you know, we get into it, basically. It was initially Robert David Steele talked to me about, you know, he wanted to produce something. And Robert's a former spook, you know, CIA officer who basically has been, you know, doing a lot of good work exposing the conspiracies of the world. You know, he's been taught, you know, I interviewed him on Buzzsaw and on Watching the Hawks about false flags and, the overall, you know, he goes into the different aspects of the power structure. So he wanted to do a documentary about what he called the empire of like pedophilia and blackmail, and how a lot of our system, I think Epstein is the Epstein case is a great example, right, of what's being exposed in terms of how people in power like Epstein then, you know, are befriending other people in power, you know, whether it's the Bill Clinton, Prince Andrew, Bill Gates, you name it, right? There's a whole collection of people that were around him, some of whom actually we believe were engaged with underage girls. Not everyone who knew him was, but the point is that if you're at that level of power, you know, why is the Leon Black of the world, let's say, you know, giving hundreds of millions of dollars basically to this guy, if I'm correct. I mean, so the point is, or, you know, at least 50 plus million staking this guy. So the point is that, you know, it's a lot of big money is being transacted. So to try to expose and understand that, I have to dive deep into this documentary Best Kept Secret to really give my perspective on how you end up with this pyramid of power that leads to things like pedophilia, ritual sacrifice, mind control, and then, you know, what is the ideology that's driving these people in power, and how they collect and gather, and in a sense, the dark attracts darkness, right? So we go through it. We talk a little bit about the Franklin scandal, because that's very much the tip of the iceberg into that realm, as far as politics, pedophilia, trafficking of kids. This goes back to the 80s, right, in that story. And then that leads us into other stories, Epstein, the JonBenet Ramsey mystery. We talk a little bit about Son of Sam and the cult nature of the murders around Son of Sam. We talk about the New World Order agenda, transhumanism, and an overall multidimensional picture, you know, with David Icke and company of like, well, you know, you can't rule out and discount the fact that these forces have been talked about since the ancient days, about the archons, the satanic forces, demons, you know, the powers and principalities that their spiritual people have always talked about and said exist here, and how much are they influencing and manipulating these people to do such dark actions.
That's going to be fascinating. Now, there's many in this community that believe the previous administration, the Trump administration, was kind of there to clean this mess up, to get rid of some of these more malevolent or evil entities in government and politics. Now, what do you think about that? Do you think that they were that administration was legitimately there to try and make a difference?
Yeah, Trump wasn't of that same ilk. He wasn't of the New World Order agenda. That's why all the Clintons, Obamas, Bidens, you know, these guys were all buddies. You know, you can really see it. The Clinton Bush family, you know, how close they were as friends, even though they're supposed to be, you know, Clinton is supposed to be vying against Bush in 92, remember? But they were always like buddy buddy when it came to, like, you know, the photos of them together, and you could just get a sense of their camaraderie, right? And so I always put it like this. I'm like, look, the system, I never liked Democrats or Republicans. We knew it was rigged. If you want to understand how the system is rigged, just ask yourself, when it came to the Iraq War, were the Democrats opposed to the Iraq War? Oh, yeah. After the fact, they say, oh, it was Bush's war. Did Hillary vote for it? Absolutely. Did all those Democrats, like, what were they, like three senators or like three, like a handful of Congress people that opposed the Iraq War, right? So come on. It's a joke. Tell me that the Republicans and Democrats are different when it comes to the agenda, right? The actual agenda. That's where the New World Order system comes into play. And that system that Trump called the deep state, I documented in my book, New World Order, about Henry Kissinger's mentor. And Henry Kissinger's mentor was one of these deep state operatives, who's a CIA guy who's teaching kids at Harvard for 40 years, the politics department, you know, mentoring Kissinger and Huntington and all these other people. And then he himself has been groomed by the British establishment, the British Roundtable Groups, as they were called, who really were born out of Cecil Rhodes, the imperialist whose financial backing came from the Rothschild family to buy up the gold and diamond mines of South Africa and create like the De Beers Diamond Empire. And he's this great colonist, right, who basically is saying, look, we want to preserve the British Empire by incorporating America back into the British Empire. So this is their ideology, basically, right? It's all about the destruction of nation states and the absorption of nation states into a globalized system, as Alex Jones and others call it, the globalists, right? Well, these people identify themselves as such. You know, the Rockefellers and family, they identify themselves as so-called internationalists. They don't believe in the American principle of government and the republic. And that's what I believe Trump stood for. That's what he stood with. That's what he represented. That's why he went to Davos and said, you know, we stand with the principle of nationalism. And then everyone said he was Hitler because he actually stood for nationalism and like a pro-American approach to economics and to political philosophy in a time when the whole mainstream agenda is no, America is bad. America is based on white power and enslavement and genocide. And yet every country in the world has been rooted in such atrocities. And yet America at least has a constitutional basis that gives power to the people in ways that no other country in the world does. So to me, I supported the fact that Trump was a nationalist, and I support the nationalist perspective, even though I also appreciate the internationalism of what globalization can offer. But again, it has to be rooted in some principle of empowerment of the individual, because the international systems are designed to disempower the individual, to basically take away your sovereignty and give it to the World Health Organization or to the overarching sovereign power structure, to basically say, well, because of international accords and agreements, you can no longer do this. You can no longer, you know, decide that you want to grow crops in your backyard because the international agreements that have been made, you know, by NATO or NAFTA or the IMF or the World Bank or whatever it may be, right? That's going to supersede your ability to determine what your reality looks like. And that's very much what the New World Order agenda is about.
Yeah, definitely. And when you're looking at the ritualistic aspects of this, it seems like there are many major events throughout our history that have had some sort of ritualistic aspect to it. I mean, I've even saw evidence recently that the JFK assassination could have had some kind of ritualistic aspect to it. Is that something that you find goes along with some of these major events as well?
Of course, it has to, because it's like magic is a multidimensional phenomenon that in a sense requires certain alignment to allow for something to actually like flow. And then when you start to go to that hyperdimensional consciousness, you start to recognize synchronicities, right? You start to see things and patterns that you can't really. You can't necessarily say that it was plotted by a human mind. It was like, it goes beyond the level of most people's ability to actually plan and think and foresee. But you start to get into to this sort of galactic force that seems to be at work, which, ultimately I believe, you know, that God and the highest source of goodness ultimately creates this universe, but are there dark forces that work within it? Absolutely. And that's the problem people get into when you look at the occult. And if you look at the occult through the lens of logic, it seems completely absurd, right? But it's the same as aliens. It's like, if you're just looking from the perspective of logic, I mean, it doesn't make sense. What are they doing with these craft? Why are they here? You can ask a million questions, but you start to go from the question of the logic to the actual experience of, okay, let's just feel it and let's just experience this as an experience of consciousness. And it makes, and it's just like, things happen because they've been aligned in accordance with forces that have been working through all of human history, through all of galactic history. You know, now you're talking eons. And then if you can let go of your logical understanding, which is based in a mind that doesn't know more than 100 years of time, let alone really doesn't even know the minutia of detail that occurs within your own being in one day, let alone within the grand scheme of the cosmos in one day, let go of that arrogance of the mind. You start to actually just experience reality. All of a sudden you go, wow, this is grand. There's a grand design to this.
Yeah. That's definitely awesome. Now, to close out today, I'd like to get your thoughts on where do you think the majority of the people, say, in this country stand? It's so hard to tell, especially with cancel culture and the censorship. We're only getting one side of the story from the mainstream media, you know, mainly the left side. How do you think the majority of the country feels about, you know, are they seeing through the bullshit? Are they on board with some of the agendas going on? Or are they against it? You know, are they using their own free will and sovereignty? You know, what do you think?
Right. You know, it's so interesting how life works. I mean, the media, I've known since a child of how manipulative the media is. I was just in Florida, right? I mean, Florida has been open for how many months now? And people have been going out without, you know, socializing on the beach. They've been at parties. They've been out without masks on for all this time. And you're sitting here going, what is this reality that we live in? Where if you're in Los Angeles and you're sitting there watching your television in Los Angeles going, I can't leave my home. I can't go anywhere without my mask. I can't go to, you know, to socialize without, you know, beyond six people because I'm going to get COVID. And then, you know, like you travel and you're like, well, people are living their lives, man. It's just, it's crazy to me how people actually believe in media reality. Because media comes from the ancient Medians, right? From Persia. These were the magi. These were the magicians. And so, you know, it was a vast culture. But the point is that I believe that media itself comes from a magical, magician-oriented control apparatus, very much like the Wizard of Oz explains. And they project illusions of how you're supposed to perceive your reality and how you're supposed to feel on a daily basis. And I think it's weakening. I feel that people are not necessarily engaging with media the same way that the parents' generation did. If you look at the boomer generation, for example, and how their whole life was built around waking up and reading the newspaper, right? And turning on the news at 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock and getting this is the news. This is what matters. This is what's new in the world today, as opposed to, you know, our generation, which is obviously more fractured or fractalized because of the social media content that makes information more malleable and varied and less controlled. It's just up to them to then say, okay, well, why do I even, like, I can be relatively aware, but at the end of the day, unless I'm on the ground experiencing something, do I really know? Unless I've studied something, I mean, I loved history because you can't know from reading the news what the situation really is about. Right now in Palestine and Israel, it's like they want to, you know, the news wants to tell us this guy's the bad guy, that one's the bad guy. And unless you've actually dealt with any of the people involved, like, you start to realize how multifaceted it is, but you also study the history and you start to understand some of the forces that are at work. And you're like, you're not going to get that in a 5-minute soundbite. You know, it's like, you know, even an hour documentary will start to give you some glimpse, but there's always perspective involved. So people got to get out of that mentality of thinking they know everything based on a portrayal or an account. And they need to start to check in with themselves and say, well, intuitively, does my perspective really matter in this story? Or can I be an observer? If I can be an observer of certain things, you know, maybe I can learn more than trying to allow my, than trying to take over and say, well, this is my perspective because my belief system was built when I was 5 years old and I was taught this, or I had this experience that triggered me. So now we're going into old wounds and habits and patterns and belief systems. And this is what most people have to work through, is to get past the belief systems that make them look at something. I've been blessed in my life to have been able to look at many situations from perspectives of both sides, if not more. And in that process, it's allowed me to grow to the place where I don't feel certain enough to not listen and hear, well, is there another point of view? And then ultimately, as I said, what does it ultimately mean to me? Because this is where the sovereignty comes in. Just say, you know what? This is why medicine and doctors and the whole COVID thing is so dangerous. Because you know what? 90% of the time, they may be right. Maybe 90% of the time, their experimental vaccine may not kill you or injure you, right? But ultimately, it's like, it's your body. And you should be able to know yourself well enough to choose for yourself and to realize that it's there is no blanket statement that says, this drug is safe. Obviously, they always put out the drugs and say, these are the side effects, right? Same with the vaccine, same with anything, right? So we need to get past this notion of the blanket, this is reality. There is no shared reality. There's a surface, like less than 1%, that appears to be a shared reality. Our reality is unique to each one of us. We need to step into that more and more on a daily basis, empower ourselves with the knowing, this is my reality. It's happening to me, through me, and for me at every moment.
Very well said. And you're absolutely right. You know, when I find something that I think I completely believe and I'm firm on it, something will happen to completely shatter that and I have to start back at square one. So definitely you got to keep an open mind, especially right now. We live in fascinating times. So much stuff is happening right now. So many disclosures. And I'm so glad you made this into a series of films so we can get even more information out of it. What day will you be premiering your film in Laughlin?
It would be, I think it's, let me double check. Cause I think it's Thursday, that Thursday night.
I have the schedule right here.
I think it's that Thursday night.
Yes, it will be Thursday night. Yes. So from 9 to 10 PM, that's going to be Pacific time, I believe. You can check that presentation. So Sean, thank you again for stopping by today. Fantastic information. Looking forward to meeting you at the conference, seeing your film, and of course, meeting all of you. So it's going to be a great time. Hello again, everyone. Chris Matthew with Forbidden Knowledge News. Today, I'm happy to welcome Erin Montgomery. She works as a marriage and family counselor by day and does healings, readings, and shamanic energy work after hours. Following in the footsteps of Yvonne Smith and others, Erin is actively working towards being able to help other alien contactees come to terms and perhaps learn from their unique experiences. Erin, welcome. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. I'm looking forward to your presentation. See, I always really enjoy presentations from contactees and people who have actually had these experiences, because I think that that's some of the most important evidence that we have today is the contactee testimony. You know, science has only taken us so far, and some of these researchers into consciousness, they can only take us so far. I think we need to bring all these things together, the contactee testimony, the science, the nuts and bolts research, and the consciousness research, and kind of bring that together. I think we could get a lot further in what we're looking at. But, you know, your presentation, Dirty Little Secret, Confessions of an Alien Contactee. I'm sure it's going to be an amazing presentation. Now, for you, did your experiences start at a young age?
Yeah, I've been a contactee for a very long time. My earliest memories are around 4 years old. However, you know, these things are not linear. You know, I didn't realize I had contact at four until, you know, 6 months ago, and I had a flash and understood it. And so it's a really interesting journey, I guess, through life, understanding that things have happened to me in the past that I'm just now remembering. And some of them come naturally. Some of them I don't have any problems remembering the new experiences that I have, but those early memories are either brought through regressions or flashes of things that I am recalling later in life. It's really complicated. And, you know, as you talk about these different modes in which we are learning about this phenomenon through science, through consciousness, and through these experiencer, these contact things that are happening to people, I mean, it really has to bridge together. And a lot of this has to do, you know, with that conscious level, you know, how come these memories are coming to light right now? And how come so many of us contactees are coming kind of online and understanding right now in this moment? There are so many people that are coming out and telling their stories and starting to write books, and it's like a flood over the last couple of years. And it's pretty phenomenal.
Now, you mentioned earlier that it has been kind of like a journey of trauma, understanding your trauma and then accepting it. Were most of your experiences traumatic in the beginning and you just had to kind of work through them? Is that the way it worked?
Pretty much. The way I've come to understand it is there's like three different categories of experiences I have. There are some that are loving and kind, and I'm learning a lot of things, whether it's metaphysical information or even quantum physics types of things. You know, not that I understand quantum physics, but, you know, just the way, you know, there is no time. Things are in a location, a space-time location, and it's, you know, all of this crazy stuff that a therapist doesn't necessarily need to have in her head, but it's all right there. So, you know, that's one category. Then I have experiences that were really scary, but we're not necessarily bad. You know, at 7 years old, I did have an implant that was put into the roof of my mouth. And I was terrified in that moment. And it actually caused trauma. And I really had a hard time with dentists right now. And it's due to the chair that I was placed in, looked like a dentist chair. And so those things, you know, as a therapist, I understand PTSD and how it works. And I can see the correlations between what happened to me as a child and the things that I struggle with now. And then the third category is those horrible, terrible, awful experiences that I've had that do seem to have some sort of maliciousness behind it. And so there's, you know, I can kind of parcel it out. Okay, was this just scary and I'm just coping with it, or was it just really bad?
Do you think that you had possibly two different groups that you had experiences with, some with malevolent intentions?
I absolutely believe that the really scary, bad experiences I have often have a military element to them. And it's so not that I understand any of it really well, but it does lead to many questions.
Now,
biggest one being why.
Yeah, definitely. When did you have any regressions to kind of bring these memories to the forefront?
I've had two regressions at this point, working both of the times with Yvonne Smith, who I've gotten to know over the years. And the first regression that we did, I wanted to go to the trauma. I wanted to heal the trauma. And so it took me back to 7 years old at the time that I had the implant put into the roof of my mouth and, you know, with the dentist chair and everything. And before that, I was not sleeping. I was missing work. I was just a big mess. And after the regression, having put some of those fears to bed and was able to cope and move on, you know, I no longer struggled to sleep, and I still don't struggle to sleep. And that was 7 years ago, 8 years ago that I had that first regression. The second regression I had took me back to about the age of 10 or 11. You know, right at the time of puberty. So encounters started to change for me at that time. So those are the only two regressions I've done, but absolutely fascinating information that comes out. And it really helps to understand the phenomenon even further when you go back in time in your mind to that point and pull out as many details as possible.
Now, a lot of contactees that I've spoken with also have paranormal experiences or other things that they can't explain happening in their lives. Have you had kind of parallel strange experiences as well?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think the paranormal is just a part of my life. You know, And I think being a contactee makes you really sensitive to what's happening around you. And so I can tell when there's a shift in energy. I know when a spirit or a being enters the room, and I can communicate with them in different ways and forms. And that is something that I have grown to learn to understand and work with, and even help these beings often. And sometimes it is the ETs that help me understand what's going on. So paranormal happens to me all the time. It's just a way of life, I guess.
Now, the more I look at this and the more testimony I hear from contactees, abductees, and different theories along the way, I think more and more that it's possible we could be an experiment for these beings, or, you know, something along those lines that we always have been. When you look at the hybrid experiments that people claim to be part of, all these different contacts, the strange events that occur, the missing time, the way that these beings seem to be able to just change the fabric of our reality at will, it makes me think that, you know, we could very well be an experiment. What do you think about that?
Well, I think we could be an experiment, but I think that it's a loving type of experiment. There's a purpose. Not that I understand what that purpose is, but there's definitely an agenda here. As a contactee, I actually have several generations of contact in my family. And so it's like, okay, so why are you manipulating the DNA? What is important about this DNA, and what are you weaving into it to continue generation after generation after generation? My children are involved, and it just makes you wonder. And then, you know, to throw in the hybrid program, which is something that I intimately understand, and that pushes it even further. What is it about this human DNA, or these particular family lines that are so integral to whatever it is that they're doing? Is there a reason? We just don't know what.
Yeah, that reason, man. I'd love to know that. To close out today, I've been asking all the presenters of this, and I'd like to get your thoughts on it. There's been so much that has been come out in the mainstream with UFO disclosure from the Pentagon. We're waiting for information to come out in June. First of all, I really don't trust any of the information coming out. I'm paying close attention to it because I find it fascinating that it's coming out right now and the sources it's coming from. But what are your thoughts on it? Why do you think now and from our own government?
That's a good question. And I think it's very loaded. And I think that there is a reason to be wary of what comes out of the government, because what is that agenda? Because everybody does have an agenda. And of course, some of my experiences being, you know, possibly with the government, you know, military is involved, and I have a hard time trusting that. However, what I do know is they're not the only ones coming forward. As I said earlier, there's this huge influx of people that are understanding that they are contactees, that are reaching out for help, and they're becoming vocal, and they are writing, and they are talking, you know, myself included. And it just seems that disclosure is happening all around us on many, many different levels.
Yeah, it definitely is. We live in super fascinating times. Now, for Absolutely. People that are interested in finding about more about you and your book, is there a website or anything that people can go to, or social media, sure. Anything like that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have a website, erinmontgomery.net. You can also find me on Facebook under Erin Montgomery, and Dirty Little Secret also has a Facebook page, and I do a lot of my shamanic work through Erin Montgomery Multidimensional Messenger, which is also on Facebook. My books are available on Amazon.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for stopping by today. I'm looking so forward to seeing your presentation. You're actually going to be on Forbidden Knowledge News Monday. And and of course, I look forward to seeing all of you in Laughlin. So that's going to be an amazing time. This year's Laughlin UFO Mega Conference is going to feature over 36 scientists, researchers, and contactees. They're going to be presenting incredible disclosures over 7 days. You can now register for the full week, for half a week, or even by the day or session. And not only is there going to be over 36 amazing presentations, you're going to get a skywatch, meet and greets, and exclusive film screenings. And there's always going to be only one presentation at a time, so you don't have to miss anything. And did I mention that there's no longer any mask mandates in Nevada? So you can now enjoy this amazing 7-day conference mask-free. Just go to their website, LaughlinUFOMegaConference.com, and register now. Last year's conference was absolutely amazing. This year's is going to be even better. So join us for an incredible 7 days of education and disclosure at the Laughlin UFO Megaconference.